4CA, John McKenzie, 1300 872 911.
Now, if you're like me, you're probably trying to scratch your noggin and work out, hang on a minute, is this Australia's most wanted fugitive, Graham Potter, and he's been found in what looks like a bloody chook shed in Ravenshoe, you know, and it says ending a 12-year manhunt. He's been hiding on and off, I presume, in chook sheds for 12 years. Just bizarre. Anyway, here we go. This is, I'll go straight to the Courier Mail coverage because it's quite extensive pages of it, including photographs. Reading, Graham Jean Potter was an odd choice to be part of a mafia organised drug importation. The gruesome murder of 19-year-old woman Kim Barry on his Bucks night in 1981 should have made him an outlier to most in Australia's underbelly. But more than two decades after his horrific crime, Potter found himself among 30-odd men and women who stood to share $440 million from the biggest ecstasy drug import in history. Anyway, I won't go on with all the details there. By the way, the 19-year-old girl that he murdered, it says here, for a killer who dismembered his teenage victim by cutting off her head and fingers, the tubby, greying, bespectacled Potter passes as an ordinary bloke. The callous murder of Ms. Barry, just 19, occurred at his flat after she spotted him at a bar in the town. She knew Potter, then aged 23, and a coal miner from dance classes they both took. Anyway, I won't come on with all the details of that because he did spend an extended period apparently behind bars. Look, I'm going to cut to an expert in these matters, and there aren't many around, I can tell you, and certainly none with the credentials of this bloke. You've heard him before on the program some time ago. Associate Professor of Criminology at Bond University, Dr. Terry Goldsworthy, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, John.
As they go, crooks don't come much worse than this when you look at his history.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, he's certainly got a propensity for violence, and that's borne out by the fact that he was convicted of the murder of a young woman in quite horrendous circumstances, the way he did it, and also suspected of conspiracy in two other attempted murders that were going to take place in the underworld down in Melbourne. So certainly the rest of him is a good outcome because they're the offences we know about. We don't know what he's really been doing in those other 10 or 12 years he's been on the run.
There you go. 10 or 12 years on the run, I'm still in shock that a bloke that was going to take a share of, what, $440 million ends up living probably a decade in and out of either one, what looked like a chook shed, or several chook sheds. The most amazing thing, that he hasn't been discovered in all that time. No one had a suspicion that the bloke down the back in the shack leaned to could be such, well, Australia's most wanted man. How can he last that long without being detected?
Yeah, it's all about blending in, John, blending into your background, into the community. And, you know, I was surprised that you'd gone to a small town like Ravenshoe because I think the chances of you standing out are kind of greater where there's a smaller urban hub. So I would have thought he'd be better off being in a bigger town, a bigger city that, where you can blend in more easily. But certainly he went to the extremes in terms of you know, how he disguised himself. There is reports that he had a fat suit that the police discovered after narrowly missing him. The fact he'd gone off the grid in terms of electronics. I mean, these days the police are extremely reliant on you leaving a passive or active digital footprint somewhere where you go, and he'd ditched all that, which made it extremely hard to track him. But, you know, 10 years is a long time, but we've got other people out there who've been on the run for 30 years. You know, for example, John Boback is suspected of being involved in a double execution-style murder on the Gold Coast down here, and his co-offender was arrested shortly thereafter. But Boback has now been on the run for 30 years, and the police are still actively looking for him.
He would have had to go into town in Ravenshoe to buy food and provisions, etc. You'd think someone, I mean, for a start, I've got to say this too, in this little, there's a little summary of what is where he's believed to have been, known to be living in Ravenshoe, far north Queensland, as far back as April 2010. But he's been going into town, but no one knew it was him or whatever. You would think someone might have twigged, given his weird behaviour.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess, you know, people can alter their, when they want to, they can alter their image substantially, you know, by changing facial hair, at least for men, facial hair, haircuts, you know, wearing glasses, you know, growing a moustache or whatever, just in terms of how you dress or even your body shape. So, you know, if you're motivated enough to do it, you can certainly disguise your physical presence to a great degree. You know, the reports are that the police did get a hot tip, so where that tip came from remains to be outlined, but that person is now in line possibly for the $100,000 award that was up for him.
Well, if that person lives in Raven, so that person's going to be the most popular person in town.
Well, that's right. They'll be doing a few shouts down the local pub, I suspect.
Well, it's funny because a bloke at the pub said, oh, he must have been coming here. I had my suspicions, but, you know, they come and go, and he looked different every time. He came, whatever, I can't remember the detail, but I'm thinking this bloke at the pub was probably dealing without knowing full well one of the most vicious people, free, walking free, in the whole country for the last 10 years.
Well, yeah, I mean, and we tend to, it's human nature to believe the good in people. That's why, you know, that's how fraudsters operate. You know, they rely on people's good nature. So I guess if you saw him, you'd probably think, no, I'm being silly. There's no way in the world that could be him. He wouldn't be here. We all kind of have that response, oh, no, I wouldn't be here next to me. That wouldn't be that murderer. And I guess someone has probably gone, well, actually, I reckon it is him. And they've rung up Crime Stoppers or whoever and given a tip and lo and behold, the police have got him.
Well, clearly quite a few people knew what he looked like. I mean, here it is, August 23rd, 2010, police reveal Potter has been sighted near Cairns. So he was here as well. I've got to ask you this one. It's a bizarre situation. He was, he had been contracted to pot off with a gun, I presume, two people at a wedding, but the wedding involved some of the worst criminals or most notorious people in Victoria. Is that the case?
Yeah, that is the allegation that it involved a number of well-known criminal identities and it sounded like he was intending to do quite public hits on them.
Yeah.
And there was also a suggestion that at least in one of those matters, the police interfered and prevented him from doing it by, you know, making sure that his car wasn't drivable at the time. So certainly he had the propensity to get involved in a lot higher level crime than perhaps he had been in the past.
Mm. Well, I presume we can breathe easy after the event of yesterday, Terry. I bet you got a surprise when you saw it on your TV screens, did you?
Well, yeah, and I mean, that just shows, you know, it's good to see that the police keep following these things up and, you know, keep them active by keeping them in the media, and you'll occasionally see them go out and do a bit of a media campaign on someone who's outstanding, like Boback. I think last year they did a campaign on his 30-year anniversary of being on the run. So, you know, these things are visited from time to time. It's not necessarily that you have someone there for 10 years working on nothing but the police do send teams back to look at these things from time to time to try to get new information. And, you know, they do rely extensively on the public, as we've seen in this matter, to solve these things.
Terry, just a quick, and it's a very difficult one at short notice. We had a most appalling murder of a young local girl here not long ago on a beach north of Cairns called Toya Cordingley. Now, the belief is, and this is a belief held also by senior police officers, the person responsible is likely to be living in India. Now, there's been all sorts of efforts. I understand there's still two senior officers involved in investigating the case, but what we hear back in Cairns is we get no cooperation from the authorities in India. Are you across any of this at all? And if so, I mean, what is the situation when it comes to extradition in situations where you've got the Quad involving both Australia and India plus the two other countries, but there's no cooperation on this most urgent of cases? Well, for the people of North Queensland anyway, we need an outcome, but we're being stymied at every turn.
Yeah, well, this, I mean, I don't know the exact details, but certainly in general, you know, these cases where the suspects flee overseas, we are at the behest of the host country where the person is. And the first thing we need is an extradition treaty to be in place. Even when that's in place, you need the cooperation of law enforcement.
Yeah.
You know, and there's often a great difference between how we perceive and how our law enforcement operates in this country to other countries. you know, if you look over in India, there's it has adjusted in recent times, but it used to be that if you did an honour killing and killed your wife for some perceived wrong, you wouldn't go to jail. Now, over here, obviously, if you'd commit a domestic homicide, you're jailed for a substantial period of time. So there's a difference in values as such.
Oh, my God. All right, Terry. Look, I must say it's been great to talk to you again. It's been a long time. Hopefully it won't be so long next time. And thank you for your help on these matters.
No worries, John. Thanks.
He's outstanding in this field. Dr. Terry Goldsworthy is his name. He's the Associate Professor in Criminology at Bond University.